Well, hello again. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth, and I'm excited that you're excited about learning the Word of God today. And hopefully the Lord will give me enough grace to be able to say some things from the Word of God and teach some things from the Word of God that would be interesting and helpful to you in your walk with the Lord. I just want to say that I admire you for honoring the Lord and honoring His Word enough to sacrifice your time to the Lord and sit on purpose and listen to what God's words have to say. And I remind you that everything that we are discussing from the Word of God, we're talking about from the King James Bible. And hopefully you have that, and you have your writing pad and your pencil for the Scriptures. I remember I didn't give you the Scriptures last time on the last recording, and I apologize for that, because I kind of messed that one up altogether and went over another part that we had went over for the one prior to that, didn't I? But like I said, when we started this thing, you know, you're lucky not to have a brain like I got. So if you just be easy on me, we'll be easy on one another, okay? So let's go ahead and begin our study today. And we're talking about the assurance of salvation. In the past we've talked about what is meant by the assurance of salvation. We've talked about why do I need the assurance of salvation. Remember that. We've talked about what is the basis of our salvation, of the assurance of our salvation. And we said that the person of God was, according to the Word of God, the promises of God is a basis for the assurance of our salvation, that God Himself has promised that to us. And the very presence of God in our lives is the assurance, is a basis for the assurance of our salvation. God is not a fake. When God says He's in your life, He's in your life. And it's not a matter of whether He's there or not. He said He is. And it's a matter of whether you're going to acknowledge the truth that He's there and believe the Lord. And then we talked about, how may I know that I'm saved? And we went over the Scriptures concerning that. And then twice in two different lessons, we went over what brings assurance of salvation into my life. What brings it into my life? We talked about that we should learn the Word of God. And that's what we're doing right now. And the Lord honors those that will honor Him. He said He would, and He does. And I'm a testimony of that. The Lord has honored me for honoring Him, and He has honored me when I have been completely undeserving of it also, and been very, very kind to me in my life. And you could probably say the same thing. We thank God for His gift of salvation. Thanksgiving is evidence of faith. The Bible says the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Sometimes you don't feel like saying thank you, but you ought to anyway. That's something in society nowadays. One of the things in society nowadays that the generations of young people are not being taught is the importance of saying thank you. I remember when I was growing up, we said thank you 100 times a day, and if it wasn't, we didn't say it, we was reminded to say it. And thank you and I'm sorry are two very important words that are going out of the English language, and you see the repercussions that are happening because of it. We make a public testimony in front of others that we're not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ and ashamed of His Word. We stand up wherever it might be, and we identify ourselves with the Word of God and with the Lord Jesus Christ. We attend church services and be around fellowship and fellowship with the brethren as much as possible, and when it's scriptural. And we live a righteous life. Remember that? Okay, and then the last thing that we talked about that I did not yet give you scripture for, but I will this recording, was what happens if I sin. And we went to the book of 1 John and spoke about that quite a bit. Not a lot, but went over the scriptures. Is it possible for a Christian to sin? Well, you'd be an idiot to say that it's not possible, because we're lucky to get by 15 minutes without being tempted to sin, if you're like me. Does God want us to sin? Of course not. Who would say that it's all right with the Lord for us to sin? What kind of goofball would say something like that? 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, if you remember that, it says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin," that's not permission. That's not a permission that the Lord's given us in that verse. It's a remedy. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, that it's been taken care of. And if we confess it and we come to the Lord in confession and confess it, that he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness and keep us in fellowship with him. Aren't you glad of that? I'm glad of it. Well, if it wasn't for the Lord's mercy and his grace and his wisdom in working out this thing of salvation and getting us back in relationship with him and letting us and working out this whole plan. I mean, you stop and figure this thing all the way from the Garden of Eden all the way to the millennial reign. You stop and figure this thing all the way through there and how much the Lord has worked out. You've got to admire him. You've got to admire him. What happens if I sin? If a Christian sins, what's the one thing that we're to do about it? We're to confess it. Now, have you confessed your sin to the Lord today? I mean, it's nobody else's business unless you sinned against them, and then you go to them and say you're sorry and confess. If we confess our faults, the Bible says that the Lord's faithful and just to forgive us our sin, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But the Bible also says for us to confess our faults one to another that we may be healed. That we're supposed to go to one another and say we're sorry. And we're supposed to say, "I forgive you." We're supposed to do these things, and we're supposed to say them, and we're supposed to hear them when they're said. And that's what makes the difference of whether it's real or not. I email you and confess my sin to you, or, yeah, come on now. Yep. Now, Lord, man, it all be face to face, because you can look at them eyeballs, and you can look at that character, and you can look and say, look in the window of that soul right there in them eyes, and you can tell whether somebody means it or not. Can't you tell? And that's the way the Lord wanted it. He said, "Confess your faults one to another that you may be healed." And then we see, in your own words, what does the Christian lose if he sins? Well, we lose fellowship with our Heavenly Father, and we lose fellowship with one another. There's so stubborn, hard-hearted Christians nowadays, and I'm talking about born-again people, people that have got the Holy Ghost dwelling in them, that have hardened up, and they walk in 20 years just because they need to get back in fellowship with the Lord and tell God that they're sorry about something and confess it and admit it to him, and they won't do it. They'd rather live out there and be miserable and live out of fellowship with their Heavenly Father and live in all that wickedness and the world beating them down, the devil beating them down, and that flesh having control and just all the things that had to do with that. What a miserable, miserable, miserable life. And you don't have to live that way, because that's the Lord come. He said, "I have come." "The truth shall make you free. The truth shall make you free." When you tell the truth. Okay, so let's go on into this next portion. Remember what we're talking about now, the assurance of salvation. Can I ever lose my salvation? Well, what does the Bible say? Well, the Bible says in John 10:28, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." So according to John 10:28, which says, it says that we shall what perish? We shall never perish. Now, if the Bible's true and every word of God is pure, then that word never means never. Never. Now, some people take it and manipulate it and corrupt it and try to make it with the Greek and the Hebrew, blah, 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 and do all they can to destroy God's confidence that he wants us to have in eternal security. I don't know why anybody would want to try to talk another Christian out of their salvation. What an idiot. And what an idiotic thing to do, to try to make somebody doubt their salvation. Got to be money in that stuff somewhere, huh? But anyway, The Bible says in John chapter 10:29, listen to this, "My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man's able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." The Bible says in John chapter 6, verse 37, listen to this, we're talking about, can I ever lose my salvation? "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Let me ask you a question. Did you come to the Lord Jesus Christ? As best as you know how, by faith, did you come to him? You did? Okay. According to John 6:37, Jesus said, "All that the Father giveth to me," no man can come to the Father except through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said, no man can come to him except the Father, the Holy Ghost draw him, and the Father give him to the Lord Jesus Christ, or you. So, according to John 6:37, "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out." Jesus said, if you come to him, you ain't got no more worries about it. You don't have to worry about losing your salvation, because you're not ever, ever, remember the word, never going to be cast out and never going to perish. So why are you listening to those idiots that are telling you that you can lose your salvation? Why are you listening to everybody else that's trying to talk you out of believing your Bible? Your Bible is your final authority. Your Bible is the doctrine of your salvation. Jesus Christ is the author of your salvation, and his words said that he would never cast you out, and that if you come to him, he would never cast you out, and you will never, ever perish. What's it going to take for you to believe that? You'd rather believe some dummy that's trying to talk you out of your salvation and make you think you're going to hell or God's mad at you for some reason, instead of believing what God has said? Man, get your head on straight. Listen, let's believe God and let's believe his word. Can I ever lose my salvation? Well, the Bible says shall never perish. The Bible says that no man is able to remove us from God's hand. And then the Bible says that God will in no wise cast out those that come to Christ. Now, in John chapter 6, verse 39, "Can I ever lose my salvation? And this is the Father's will which hath sent me," Jesus talking, "that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing." You see, when the Father arranges it to where you meet Jesus Christ, the Father has already made it to where it's his will that whoever he sends to Jesus and will accept Jesus, that Jesus should lose none of them. It says, "And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." I mean, that's tremendous, isn't it? Can I ever lose my salvation according to that scripture? Absolutely not. Jesus said that he's going to lose nothing. Nothing. The Bible says in John chapter 5, verse 24, listen to this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Three things there. You hath everlasting life, present tense, and shall not come into condemnation. God's not going to condemn you ever again. And you have passed from death unto life. You now have eternal life, and death has no more dominion over you. It's going to kill your body, and your body's going to die if the Lord doesn't come, but the Lord's going to resurrect that body and give it back to you. And it's going to be fashioned like unto Jesus' glorious body. And aren't you glad of that? Amen. So can I ever lose my salvation? Well, according to the scriptures we've read so far, the answer is what? No. No, we can't ever lose our salvation. And don't listen to the idiots that tell you that. The Bible says, "Remove thyself from the presence of a foolish man, when thou perceive not in him the lips of knowledge." And I might have butchered that up a little bit, but that's what it says. I'll look it up and see if I had it right and tell you next recording, okay? But it says to remove thyself from the presence of a foolish man, when thou perceive not in him the lips of knowledge. Okay, so if somebody's trying to talk you out of what, contrary and out of your salvation, and contrary to what the Word of God, get away from them and don't listen to them. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39, it says, "For I am persuaded that neither life or death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor the things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." According to Brother Paul, that wrote Romans, put that down there, he said that he is persuaded that all of these things, death, life, angels, principalities, powers, things present, things to come, height, depth, any other creature is going to be able to separate us from the love of God. Can I ever lose my salvation? Can you ever lose yours according to that scripture? Absolutely not. Another scripture, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, says that we are blank by the blank of God. 1 Peter 1, 5 says, "Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." So who's keeping us secure in the Lord? Who are kept by the power of God through faith. Through faith. And if you've been saved and you've been born again any amount of time, and if you've just been recently born again, that's okay. You'll be finding this out, that it is indeed the power of God that keeps us day by day. You remember the hymn that says, "I need thee every hour, I need thee every minute," I have to say sometimes, don't you? An hour is too much sometimes. But praise the Lord, even though we don't understand it, He is the one that's keeping us by His power. And you know that, and I know that. So let's be confident in it and trust the Lord. Can I ever lose my salvation? All right, in Jude, verse 24, it says, "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy." You know, one day, whenever you die and you go to be with the Lord, or either the Lord comes to get us, there's going to be one day that the Lord's going to take you personally and stand you before the Father and present you before His heaven, before His Father, faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. The Lord Jesus Christ is so kind to us, He's going to take you one day and present you to the Father faultless before the Father. How's that, how you think you're going to feel then? Are you going to feel saved then? Of course we will. Can I ever lose my salvation? Absolutely not. And neither can you if your faith is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Quit listening to the idiots and the fools that don't know their Bibles and don't care to know their Bibles. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says that Christ will continue His good blank in us until the blank of Jesus Christ. Listen to this. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. "Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." So how long is the Lord going to keep you and His power going to keep you? And how long is that we can be confident of this thing, that the Lord's going to perform His work in us until the day of Jesus Christ? How long? Forever. Forever. "Being confident is the very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Has there been a day of Jesus Christ yet, talking about His second advent? No, there hasn't. Or the rapture? No, we're still here. Okay, so He hadn't come yet. All right? And even so, come Lord Jesus. We want Him to come. We want to be with Him. But He hasn't come yet. So how long according to Philippians, is our salvation going to last? It's going to last until we see Jesus and beyond. And then Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, says that our salvation has been blank with the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Ghost. Okay, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, it says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." When you were born again, God the Holy Ghost came and began to indwell your body. He's in there. And the Bible says that you are sealed with Him, and He is the earnest. You have received the earnest of the inheritance. And He is the earnest. He's the down payment of your salvation. He's the evidence of you being born again. God the Holy Ghost dwelling in you and helping you and teaching you and comforting you. And the Bible says in Ephesians 2:9, it's not of works, lest any man should boast. The Lord is never going to let any flesh glory in His presence or glory or steal His glory or rob His glory from Him, and nobody should want to. The Lord is worthy of the glory, isn't He? Of course He is. So according to them scriptures, does it sound like we can ever lose our, according to the Bible now, not according to what Mickey Mouse says, according to what the Bible says, according to what the Word of God says, can you ever lose your salvation? You have a written document there in your lap from God that tells you about whether or not your salvation is eternal and whether it's secure or not. What does it say? It says it's secure, doesn't it? You ought to have a smile on your face right now because of that. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, in this the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. The Bible also says, the Bible says that our salvation is the blank of God. It's a gift. A gift that's taken back by the giver is no gift. Now, an Indian gift, they used to call it, you Indian giver, but Indian giving was kind of different. It was real, but it was something that Indians would come up and give you a gift. But in their way of thinking, if they gave you a gift, they expected you to turn around and give them a gift in return in appreciation for the gift that they give you. And if you didn't, then they got mad and they took their gift back. That's Indian giving. But we kind of changed it around that was what that was about, because the Indians thought that they thought that giving was that you gave them a gift back, and the white man don't think like that. So anyway, Romans chapter 8, verse 15, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And you know that word Abba, that's kind of a sentimental word, and I'm not no scholar in any way having to do with that. I have learned that, and I've heard them say it, and I appreciate it. But that Abba is kind of a more personal, sentimental word between a son and a father, where you say Daddy, Daddy, whereby we cry Abba, Father. Isn't that neat? Yeah, so you don't call somebody Daddy and personal like that unless you're part of the family. You've received the spirit of adoption. You have been adopted by God. You know, and who would adopt somebody? And then, I mean, even down here on earth, you hear of somebody adopting somebody and then throwing them out of the family. It'd be more likely to throw the blood kids out first, right? 1 John 3, verse 1 says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not, that we should be called the sons of God. Is all of this scripture that we've been listening to, and I've been reciting to you and teaching you here, is all the scriptures, any of it sounded like in any kind of way that you could lose your salvation? Absolutely not. The Bible teaches us that our salvation is secure. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6 says, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. What father's going to take time to chasten a son unless he's indeed part of his family and he cares about him and loves him and wants him to be all right? When a Christian sins, he's not cast out of God's family, losing his salvation. However, like any loving father God will tear that hind end up. And if you've ever had a whooping from God and ever been chastened by the Lord, you know what I'm talking about. And you don't ever want that whooping again, because God knows exactly where to put it and how hard to put it, and that when it's all over and done, you understand that He loves you and you love Him back, and you tell Him thank you for the whooping, and you don't ever want that whooping again. Am I telling the truth? Yes, you know I am. And but He don't throw you out of the family, though. We don't get thrown out of the family because we're secure. We shall never perish. We have eternal life. Can I ever lose my salvation? Absolutely not. God is our Heavenly Father, and Christians are the sons of God. Are the sons of God. In our earthly family, when a child does wrong, his parents don't cast him out of the family and disown him. They correct him and chasten their son. But he's still their son and a member of the family. You see, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, and washed in His blood. There was a Welsh minister beginning his sermon, leaned over the pulpit and said with a solemn air, "Friends, I have a question to ask you. I cannot answer it. You cannot answer it. If an angel from heaven were here, he could not answer it. If a devil from hell were here, he could not answer it." Every eye was fixed on the speaker, who proceeded, "The question is this: how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?" Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3. And that's the truth, folks. You know, the Lord has gone through so much trouble to make this thing happen for us. And how dare anybody mock or scoff at the Word of God, or mock and scoff at what the Lord has done in our salvation. So there we go, the assurance of salvation. We still have more that we need to talk about concerning this, but I want to go over the scriptures and give you the scriptures that that I didn't give to you. So if you got a pencil, let me go ahead and give them to you, and we'll begin there at the part of what happens if I sin. And here they are. 1 John chapter 1, verse 8. 1 John chapter 2, verse 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. And then today's lesson concerning can I ever lose my salvation, the scriptures. John chapter 10, verse 28 and 29. John chapter 6, verse 37. John chapter 6, verse 39. John chapter 5, verse 24. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5. Jude 24. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 10. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 6. And there we go. There's the scripture for today. And just recapping a little bit about what we've talked about the assurance of salvation. Are you starting to trust the Lord and trust Him? You see how important God's Word is to us? God's Word is so important to us. It is a written document of a covenant, the New Testament, that the Lord has given to us in writing, that where we can stake our souls on what God has said. Isn't that beautiful? Thank the Lord for that. And concerning the assurance of our salvation, we talked about so far is what is meant by the assurance of salvation. Why do I need the assurance of salvation? What is the basis for the assurance of our salvation? We talked about how may I know that I am saved, and we talked about that. And what brings the assurance of salvation into my life? Remember those things. And what happens if I sin, and what we talked about today, can I ever lose my salvation? And then we're going to talk about, when we come back, winding up this letter A, we're going to talk about some evidences of salvation. How you can look at somebody and verify that God the Holy Ghost dwells in somebody and that they are born again. Six evidences of salvation we're going to talk about. And then we're going to go over some words that have to do with salvation that used to be in every preacher's vocabulary, and even the people that were being preached to it was in their vocabulary that you don't hear much about anymore because the devil has robbed these words, but they are very important to our salvation, talking about justification, redemption, propitiation, remission, expiation, imputation, regeneration, reconciliation, spiritual circumcision, adoption, sanctification, and glorification. These are things that whenever they weren't going apostate and Laodicean, they would teach these things to the flock, and the flock would have assurance of salvation. There wasn't people running all around without their joy and wondering whether they were going to heaven anymore because they were taught these things. So we're going to go over those things also, and we'll probably wind this up in a couple lessons. Who cares? I don't care if it takes 10 lessons. We're going to learn it together, and we're going to enjoy it and thank the Lord for it, right? So I appreciate y'all listening, and again, the Lord bless you, and thank you again for honoring the Lord. Bye-bye.